I don't know. Should I? Should I? Who knows what the effect might actually be? The more you think about it, the more paralyzed you become, right? I mean, in normal... Oh, I'm sorry. Hi, folks. Welcome. I'm James Lilac, sitting here at my accustomed place at one of the diners in the multiverse. Boomerang pattern for Micah Counter, turquoise, which is good. Out on Old Highway 23, I didn't see the sign on the way in. I don't know if it's Imperial Highway or Old County Road or whatever, but there's a road that goes to the diner, and here I am. It looks like it should, but of course, it's not my diner. It's not my universe. As you know, if you've been following along here, I have been pitched through a series of incrementally different parallel dimensions, universes. They look just pretty much like the one I'm used to. They're just a little different. And it's finding out those differences that's actually been quite fascinating. And when I'm done with all this, if I ever get home, I'll have to write something about it, and no one will possibly believe me. What I was agonizing there about just a few minutes ago was this. As I'd mentioned before, there are no Star Wars prequels in this incrementally different universe. And prequel sounds really weird the way I said it. Is that correct? Sequel? Prequel? NyQuil? DayQuil? Just say there are no Star Wars antecedents to the original trilogy. And what I was considering doing was seeing if I could save everybody the misery of the prequels by writing a highly detailed series of blog posts, as best as I remember them, about what those movies are. Leaking, in other words, the script, the whole thing. Now, I don't even know if the George Lucas in this dimension even has the third one out in his head yet. But I would say everything about Jar Jar and Darth Mikey saying yippee and how he invented everything and how the movie is just a mess of CGI and a bunch of people sitting on couches talking about things and it's not very interesting and it's an astonishing disappointment. I mean, I remember going to see the first one, the first prequel, and I thought, as soon as the opening crawl, I mean, the thrill that we all felt when the Star Wars theme splashed across the screen and we saw the logo. I mean, it was just, we were back. It was back. We were young again. And then disappointment set in instantaneously reading this tedious account of trade disputes and then having them skulk around and get a bad feeling about this. It was just, from the very start, it wasn't there. Then it ends up with a, you know, robot armies, you know, Roger, Roger, and that, oh God, just don't get me started. Anyway. I thought if I put all this down and made it like a leaked document, that there would be so much backlash that they would force Lucas Entertainment to retool, shall we say, and make it better and do what everybody wanted, which was to continue the damned story. I mean, everybody knew how Star Wars, the story of Darth Vader, ended. He's dead. And because he threw his boss down the hole at the end of it, he gets to go to sparkly Valhalla and hang around with Yoda and Obi-Wan. Which is just great. Which is, you know, like, you know, Hitler in the bunker saying, you know what? I'm sorry for all I did. Bang! And he goes to heaven. So, and also teddy bears. So I wanted to avoid all of that. And I thought, and I wrote it all up. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I've got it on my laptop. I wrote the as best as I could remember all the reasons why this thing shouldn't be made. But then I thought, what if there are consequences to this? Because as I've noticed in these places, there are strange consequences that come from what seem to be minor historical events. I'll give you an example. Australia, here, I just found this out a couple of days ago, because, you know, you land in a new, incrementally different universe, you tend to look for what's different around you. Do they still have Zagnet bars here? Oh, cool. Do they have Zero bars? Oh, that's even cooler. Do they have Chico sticks? This is great. I landed in an incrementally different universe that has great old expired candy. I mean, expired in the sense that the brands aren't made anymore. Although I'm sure they're made by one of those companies that exists to... You know, there are places... You miss the taste of Little Molly Raisin Chews? Well, we remember, and we've got them. Oh, where the hell did they get them? Did they find some buried cache of them somewhere, and these things are actually 40 years old, and they've softened them up with microwave radiation? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that the Chico Sticks, which I think are 700 calories each, most of which is fat, are amazing pieces of candy. And when my dad was running the gas station, now and then he would take me down to the candy distribution warehouse. Congress, it was called, the Congress Company in Fargo, North Dakota. Imagine that. Imagine being a kid and your dad takes you to the candy warehouse. because he had to stock the machines at the station. And it was one of those basic machines that had a big mirror on it, and it kind of looked like a cool robot or an enormous electric shaver. And you would pull out the lever, and it'd be a great satisfying clank, clunk, and drop the bars. And the bars that they had for displays were always old. Those were the ones that had been there for years, the mummified Zagnets, shall we say. But periodically, they would run out, and my dad had to go to the warehouse and get new ones, and I would get to go with. And to walk into now in my mind, it's this Wonka-esque place with boxes piled to the ceiling, every single candy imaginable spilling out of cornucopias and the rest of it. It's probably just a warehouse. But I always got a chick of sticks. I always loved the chick of stick. Anyway, what the devil? Oh, right, Australia. Australia is very different here in this incrementally different universe. The British did not send convicts. Apparently there was some upheaval of the university system, and they sent all the disgraced excess academics to Australia. So it was settled entirely by professors, teachers, assistants, and the like, which has resulted in a very different country, mind you. First of all, the teachers, the professors, etc., run everything. They have a legislature, but it's permanent. Once you are on it, you are never out of power. And it's sort of like, tenure. And there's no permanent population, aside from the teachers and the administrative class that does the work of the state. Citizens come for 4 years, and that's it, unless they go to another part of the country for another 4 years, but then they're pretty much out. They can eventually apply to become a teacher, but it rarely happens in the number of... So you've got, apparently, all these people who come to Australia and amass huge amounts of debt because there's no real jobs in Australia. They produce nothing. There's no farming. There's no industry. There's nothing but academia. And then the people leave Australia with this debt, but as soon as they're gone from Australia, they just default and nobody cares and it doesn't matter. It's very strange. And so the Crocodile Dundee movies, as you can imagine, I found one quite different. It's academic Dundee, and he's not a rude fellow with great charm. He goes to America and makes a name for himself by being very highly academic and speaking such. That's not a logical fallacy. That's a logical fallacy. So that's one thing. And the candy bars. And there's also the lack of the prequels. But here's my worry, though. Just as the decision to populate Australia with the disgraced and otherwise academics as opposed to convicts created a completely different culture on an entirely different continent than the one that I know, who knows what would happen if the prequels don't get made ever here? Does the universe balance itself out somehow, in other words? Are my actions rippling across various incrementally different universes? Because obviously they're connected. I get into the phone booth, I dial the secret number, 555-1212. Who knew? And I'm pitched here. So there obviously is ways between them. Is information exchanged through them on some quantum level? In other words, if I prevent the Star Wars movies from happening here, does that mean that in my universe, when I get back, the next Star Wars movie as Jar Jar Binks in it? Which I know is ridiculous, right? It's impossible. Who could conceive of such a thing? But what if that happens? So once you consider that, though, you have to balance other things. You have to think, well, okay, let's just say that I did create something that made Jar Jar Binks pop up in my universe again in a Star Wars movie. We could live with that because we'd already factored in sort of the Jar Jar into our whole Star Wars experience. But here, they know nothing of Jar Jar. They are un-Jar Jarred. So I think the greater good would be to prevent Jar Jar in this universe and allow for his existence in mine. It's one of those time travel questions. If you could, would you go back in time and kill Jar Jar? What does it mean? Well, convince myself. I'm going to hit send. There, sent it. We'll see what happens. Anyway, Jar Jar in a Star Wars movie. That would be funny. I mean, wouldn't he be dead by now or something? or at least dried out? Isn't he an amphibian walking around? Or say, was he an amphibian walking around on a desert planet, for God's sakes? Oh, gee. Anyway. Well, I'm not going to stick around here much. My work here is done. So I may get in the phone booth and see what else is going on in another place. Because, I don't know, the music here really isn't much to my liking. Hey, let me prove it to you. Let's go to the jukebox and see what we have at D1. Whoa. I got these guys. Well, why wouldn't they? Every universe needs an AC/DC.
If you're having trouble with your bunya friends, what? You got a thing for yous. Been counting sheep, but you're not in bed. Here's what you gotta do.
I don't think...
Get off the barn, stay off the farm. Go read a nursery rhyme. Don't ring 976-B-A-A-A. That kind of love's a crime. Hey, dirty deeds.
Done with sheep.
Dirty deeds.
Little Bo Peep.
Dirty deeds.
Done with sheep.
Dirty deeds and they're done with sheep.
Sorry. You know, come to think of it, the original to that, who's to say that the version in this incrementally different universe isn't the original, and that the version in my home universe is not some pallid reflection or distortion of the original glory and beauty and precision and purity of Dirty Deeds Done with Sheep. But since it's, you know, the infinite number of monkeys typing essentially gives you Shakespeare, which has always bothered me, really, because it's going to take an awful long time, a long, long time. And I know that the universe is it eternal? I don't know. I mean, if there's sufficient mass in the universe, as I understand it, whether it's dark matter or other forms of mass that we don't know, then eventually the gravitation, there'll be sufficient gravitational pull to bring it all back down into one infinitely dense, hot mass that then explodes again. That's the old version that assumed one universe. There are other versions, of course, which I'm starting to believe a little bit more myself these days, in which black holes themselves produce universes, that there is something that goes on in that singularity that spews out a universe where none existed before. It's the soap bubble model, that all these universes are attached together, constantly creating each other anew, and that there are different physical properties and laws of physics in them, depending on the means of their creation, etc. It's a very thumbnail and probably an accurate way of describing this these cosmological models, but I've always liked the idea that everything does come together and collapse and starts again. Because then, if you think about it, the entire history of time, of everything, everything is like respiration, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Or an accordion, if you prefer. You know, the accordion bellows go out, they go in. They go out, they go in. So essentially, all of existence is one big polka tune. Well, that is kind of depressing. But more depressing than that is heat death, where there isn't enough gravity and everything just flies apart over time. And molecules are millions of light years apart. There's just nothing there. So in that frame of time, what if you got one monkey who's typed everything in Shakespeare so far correctly, but he gets to, you know, Hamlet, and he types to be or not to be, and then the universe comes to an end. I mean, so close. But if they have enough time eventually to type it all, you got that one monkey who's going to write everything in Shakespeare correctly, except for the last word, and he's going to screw it up. And you've got to wait how long for another Fargan monkey to come up with the whole thing. And it's not even like they're trying. They're just banging at the keys. It would seem simpler to me and more likely that over that long period of time, evolutionary pressures would come to bear on those monkeys where they would realize what they are doing and make and try to do a better job of it, frankly, because this is just taking too much, just entirely too much time. Where was I? Oh, right. So in my version, of course, the AC/DC song had an actual phone number where you could call to pick up the person to request certain deeds, of a dirty nature done at a lower price. And at some point then, in this Million Monkey apparatus we got going on here, that song played with that number, and that number actually belonged to somebody who did do dirty deeds, but perhaps did not do them dirt cheap. And so people would call him up and ask for a deed of certain soiled nature to be done, and he'd quote a price, and the people would say, well, wait a minute, hold on, that's a lot of money. Yeah, Mike, that's what I charge. Right, well, the song says, I know what the song says. I've been hearing what the song says for a long time. The song's got it wrong. I didn't do the song, okay? I'll do your dirty deeds, but they're not going to be done cheap. Now, if you got a Groupon, we can talk. But no, I mean, that's my flat rate. I'm sorry. Go ahead and give me 2 stars on Yelp. I don't, you know, whatever. So, oh, yeah, one more song before we go. This is sort of an interesting universe now that I think about it. Anytime now, come on. In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. Nope. I'm out of here. Nope. If there's even a trace of Mungo Jerry in this universe, I don't want to be here. Okay, I'm going out now to another universe. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I think I'll use the facilities before I go, because you never know. I mean, I'm going to step into the phone, and then I do the thing, and then I find myself in some place where there's no diner at all, just a field, and I really have to go. And that wouldn't be a problem if it was a field, but what if it's a place where, for example, the Roman Empire never fell, and it's the 21st century, and here are some centurions with machine guns pointed at me, and they say, halt, stop, slave, you know, something like that. And then they take me away, and I can't use the bathroom, because I don't... Rome, in the 21st century, would have, of course, modern plumbing. They had plumbing then. But I don't think Rome, in its essential character and nature, would put, bathrooms in their prisoner troop transports. I just don't. I think if they did, then you'd have some, you know, some Cato character standing up about how they'd gone soft. In my day, the prisoners had to hold it until they got to the Colosseum, that sort of thing. So I'm gonna just I'll be back in a second. In the meantime, a word from some of our sponsors.
Let's swing it one time with a new song from Tom Jones.
Coca-Cola.
Things go better with Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola.
Things go better with Coke. Life is much more fun when you're refreshed. Ooh, and Coke refreshes you best. Say, I could do with a Coke right now. Somebody get me one, please.
Food goes better with. Fun goes better with.
You go better with. We go better with Coke.
The real life one puts extra fun in you and everything you do.
Things go better with Coca-Cola.
Tom Jones for Coke, so they had him in this dimension too. You know, great singer. Man, could he sell the song, but I think people eventually got exhausted by him. It's just too much. Listening to a Tom Jones performance is like having all the blood rush to your head. Man. All right, well, enough of this. I love how cavalier I am about the fact that I'm just going to go try another dimension and see if it's incrementally different, and what if it isn't? Well, I'll find out, because I'm bored with this one. Idiot. Well, still, I have to keep moving if I'm going to get home. So maybe this will be the one that takes me home. Yay! Do I have a dime? Yep, here we go. All right, here we go. By the way, in this incrementally different universe, FDR and the dime, he's smoking. Right. Should keep one of these. See if it transitions to the next one. You know, keep forgetting to save things from...
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, and I still go. I don't know what it means quite. I usually start feeling it about now. And there we go. Okay. It's not entirely unpleasant. It really isn't. I'm kind of used to it. And I'm looking out the window, by the way, the phone booth here, and everybody looks normal. And there they go. Hope something replaces them. And this is the part I hate, because it's black. It's very black. Very black. And then the lights gradually start to come up. Oh, phew. Yep, I'm in a diner. You know, I just realized I left my computer in the other dimension. I mean, it's here, too. I'm seeing it. It's right there on the counter, but I'm becoming entirely too comfortable with this. I mean, assuming that my possessions are going to go with me.
You're late!
What the? It's the Breathy White People's Chorus! You're here!
Bite me!
And you're still the same. All right. Well, sit right down. Yeah, refill on the coffee. Thank you very much. All right, let's flip open the laptop here and call up Wackapedia or Goggle and see what's news in this world, shall we? Huh. Okay, let's slow down and spell our password correctly. It's not taking my password. And I know I typed it correctly, which means my password is different in this dimension. Oh, great. You know what this means? I didn't have a childhood dog. He's been my password for 40... Well, no. I could have had a childhood dog, but it just could have had a different name. Huh. Well, I gotta get this laptop open because it has all the information I'm gonna need to be me in this particular iteration of the incrementally different universe. I'm physically inhabiting me, but my consciousness is from my place. And I know this is a different one because the Breathy White People Chorus are back there in their booth where they usually are in my universe, and they haven't been before, so now they are, so I know that I traveled to a new place. But what the hell is my password? And who do I call to get it? Well, I'm not going to bore you with endless attempts to brute force crack it. I'm just simply going to get to work on this and see what's different about this particular version and get back to you next week with all the details. Unless, of course, I'm captured outside of the diner by Roman centurions. It could happen. It could. All right. Thanks for dropping by, folks. I'm James Lilacs. This has been The Diner, and I'll see you down the road.